This is a sermon from the archives of the First Congregational United Church of Christ in Algona, Iowa. Our legacy project reminds you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.
This morning we read from the 60th chapter of the book of Isaiah. Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem. Your light has come. The glory of God shines upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick clouds cover the peoples. But upon you God shines, and over you appears glory. Nations shall walk by your light, and kings by your shining radiance. Raise your eyes and look about. They all gather and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters in the arms of their nurses. Then you shall be radiant at what you see. Your heart shall throb and overflow, for the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you. The wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you. Dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba, shall come bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of our God.
Our focus scripture for this morning comes from the Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter. Pay close attention to Matthew's story. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem village, Judah territory, this was during Herod's kingship, a band of scholars arrived in Jerusalem from the east. They asked around, "Where can we find and pay homage to the newborn king of the Jews? We observed a star in the eastern sky that signaled his birth. We are on a pilgrimage to worship him." When the word of their inquiry got to Herod, he was terrified, and not Herod alone, but most of Jerusalem as well. Herod lost no time. He gathered all the high priests and religion scholars in the city together and asked, "Where is the Messiah supposed to be born?" They told him, "Bethlehem, Judah territory. The prophet Micah wrote it plainly. It's you, Bethlehem, in Judah's land, no longer bringing up the rear. From you will come the leader who will shepherd rule my people, my Israel." Herod then arranged a secret meeting with the scholars from the east. Pretending to be as devout as they were, he got them to tell him exactly when the birth announcement star appeared. Then he told them the prophecy about Bethlehem and said, "Go find this child. Leave no stone unturned. As soon as you find him, send word and I'll join you at once in your worship." Instructed by the king, they set off. Then the star appeared again, the same star they had seen in the eastern skies. It led them on until it hovered over the place of the child. They could hardly contain themselves. They were in the right place. They had arrived at the right time. They entered the house and saw the child in the arms of Mary, his mother. Overcome, they kneeled and worshiped him. Then they opened their luggage and presented gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh. In a dream, they were warned not to report back to Herod. So they worked out another route, left the territory without being seen, and returned to their own country. These are the words of our faith. Thanks be to God. My youngest son sent me a spoof of this story. He texted it to me, a link to it. It's not going to be word for word, but what it said was that biblical scholars had determined that when the wise men brought gold and frankincense and myrrh to Jesus, he only played with the boxes that they came in. I love that. That's what any kid would do, isn't it? Whether Jesus played with the boxes or not, whether Jesus was impressed or his parents were impressed with the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, really isn't that important. As we gather this day to hear this story, we're reminded that today is a day of transition. Today is the last day of the 12 days of Christmas, of the season of Christmas. Tomorrow is Epiphany. The day of Epiphany, the day that we recognize and celebrate the wise men or the magi or whatever you'd like to call them, their travels and their arrival, following the star. We know this story forwards and backwards, don't we? We share this part of Matthew's birth story today. Matthew's and Luke's birth stories are very different if you take the time to look at them separately and not combine them like we tend to do. Matthew's birth story isn't warm and fuzzy like Luke's. We don't get angels singing Gloria in Excelsis Deo. We don't get the sweet little baby in the manger. We don't hear any of that from Matthew. We get a very short description of Jesus' birth from Matthew from Joseph's point of view. Joseph is the central character in that birth announcement in Matthew's story. But today we shift to the Magi, the wise men. Today we shift to Herod and others in Jerusalem out to get Jesus. In the next piece of scripture following this in Matthew's story, Joseph is warned in a dream to take Mary and flee because Herod's out to get him. There's panic, there's fear in Matthew's story. There's death in Matthew's story. Not at all like what we hear on Christmas Eve. Those men from the east, those scholars from the east, come because they have seen a star, a sign. They have come to worship a king, a sovereign, a ruler, a Messiah. Matthew's point in this particular piece of the story, in his particular piece of the story, is that the Gentiles recognize who Jesus is before his own people do. Many of his own people, his own family, will not recognize whom Jesus is, will reject it. Mary gets mentioned in this story. Jesus is kind of a bystander in this story. The central point of the story isn't even the star, it's the wise men, the scholars that come to worship him. But there's another point in this story for the wise men, for us, for everybody. The star isn't even important. The point that I see in this story is that it can be risky business, even dangerous business, to following stars. The Magi found this out. They got as far as where Herod was and those other religious scholars. They asked around where they could find this baby. They even got an audience with Herod. I don't think they were expecting that. And it was a risky visit because although Herod pretended to be looking to this child to worship, he had other ideas in mind. Makes me wonder, does it you? How wise were those guys if they couldn't recognize Herod's motives? They followed a star. Do you follow stars? It's a lot easier now. I'm not talking about the amateur astronomy folk looking through their telescopes at the heavens. I'm talking about the people that our culture tells us are stars, movie stars, kings, queens, princesses. It's so easy to follow them now. All you have to do is get on the internet. You can follow them on Twitter. They'll give you all the latest things of what the stars are doing. The world stars. There's magazines about the stars, fan magazines, People magazine. We follow lots of stars, don't we? We're interested in what they say, what they wear, what they do. As if we don't have enough trouble figuring out and following and paying attention to ourselves and what we say and whom we follow and what we do. Yes, we follow lots of stars, but the biggest star, the star that we claim to follow, Jesus. Jesus is our star. The star is a metaphor in a way, isn't it, for Jesus? We're to follow this star, what this star says, what this star does, what this star teaches. Not just on occasion, but always. That is our call as disciples, to follow Jesus, our star. Not only to follow, but to emulate, to reflect what he has said and done through our lives to others. Today is the last day of the Christmas season. We are beginning, or already have, or have begun undecorating, to move on from Christmas into now what will be Epiphany tomorrow, the day of Epiphany. The signs of the season, the symbols of the season will be put away until next Advent, next Christmas. But Christmas doesn't stop. The star, Jesus, our star that we follow, doesn't stop on this day. We don't pack Jesus away until next Advent, next Christmas. Because Jesus' star continues to guide us. It is the one we should look for each and every day. The question before us, that was before Herod and the other scholars and other folk in Israel, is will we choose to follow that star, to keep following that star? Because like the wise men would find out, as we should be fully aware by now, following this particular star, this Jesus star, is still dangerous and risky business. Calls us to live a life that is countercultural to the life that the world invites us to lead. We gather around this table on this first Sunday of a new year to be reminded of that, to be reminded of Jesus' life, all he said, all he taught, all he did, all the trouble that he got into because of the life that he led. We are reminded that it's our life too, if we choose to follow the star. Our star. The Advent wreath is still up. The Advent Sunday candles aren't lit. Advent's over and gone. We lit the Christ candle on Christmas Eve, announcing the light coming into the world. It's lit today because that light does not go out. It continues on into the world, though we will put this away for another year. It reminds us that we are to follow the light of the star that we claim to follow. Follow the other stars in your life if you like. I don't see anything wrong with that. But most importantly, follow the star that Jesus is, the light that Jesus gives. It outshines all the others. May we reflect that light into the world from our lives and continue to follow that star. Amen.
This broadcast is part of the Legacy Project of the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Algona, Iowa, where we continue to remind you that God is still speaking and no one is a stranger.